what up. Let's go. Tune it down, get down on the floor. Get down on the floor. Yeah.
Let's freak tonight.
Tune it down, get down on the floor. Get down on the floor. Yeah.
Let's freak tonight.
All my ladies, get down on the floor. Cause them boys shy, he tick down.
Today, I have the distinct pleasure of speaking with a local celebrity who is as versatile in his professional endeavors as he is in his personal style. He's a community activist, an advocate for the children. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Mr. Malik Shaheed.
How you doing, Nicole?
Hey, Malik. So good to sit with you and talk with you today.
So I'm excited.
I feel like there's so much to unpack about who you are today and all that you've done. But I want to take it back and start, before we get to Malik the man today, let's start with Malik the youth. Okay. I want to know, what kind of youth was Malik Shaheed?
I grew up in a single parent household. I was taken care of by my mother, my grandmother, and little Burgundy. And I used to play a lot outside. And people say I was goofy, you know what I mean? Love sports, love to be outside, and love hanging with my friends. You know, we had a very close bond in Little Burgundy, my friends and I.
And in my research, I read that it feels like you've always had an ambitious entrepreneurial spirit. At 13 years old, you started with the barbershop the basement.
Yeah, I had my own barbershop in the basement. Before that, 11 years old, I was delivering newspapers, the local newspaper, La Voix Pop.
Yeah.
11 years old, doing, you know, getting some money. So yeah, I've always been independent. And
to what do you attribute that type of ambition at such a young age?
I needed money, right? So I needed something to do to get the money. So I just, you know, fell in. It was a coincidence, the whole barber thing. I started cutting my own hair, and then started cutting my friend's hair, and people saw I had a talent. And
they called you the master fader.
The master fader. They still call me the master fader today.
So you, as a youth, you were very ambitious, and you went for what you wanted. And today, you are a huge contributor in giving children the opportunity to be their own go-getter. Congratulations on 10 years with Youth Stars, your foundation.
Yes, thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So Youth Stars Foundation is all about inclusivity, diversity. We work with all types of kids, whether they're on the spectrum, whether they have anxiety, whether they're temperamental, whether they're just average kids, whether they're kids with talent. We just want to give them all opportunities. And, you know, we promote a lot of healthy living habits, and we use sports and arts to promote educational things. So, you know, we do anti-bullying tours. We do stuff on mental health awareness. We have big camps that are really focused on, getting up and moving and health. And every year we do a free luncheon for 300 kids. We feed 300 kids from all over and give them an opportunity to enjoy themselves during the holidays.
And what type of reception do you get from the community? What type of reception have you seen, or what type of change have you seen in the lives of these kids over the past 10 years now?
I mean, I've had parents come up to me and, you know, thank me and thank Youth Stars for, you know, helping out their kids in certain ways, whether it was breaking their stigma, whether it was helping them get over a hump. And I have kids also that I've, you know, worked with before Youth Stars at the YMCA Point St. Charles and Little Burgundy Youth Co-op that will come up to me and say, hey, you know, when I was younger, I used to, you know, be my animator, and you helped me go through this and so forth. And, you know, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. It's nice knowing that, you know, I've been able to touch and help so many lives.
Absolutely. I think mentors are very important in life. What do you think of the importance of having a mentor growing up?
I think it's very important, and I think in our community we lack mentors, where other communities focus a lot on having mentorships. So I think having mentors is very important to have it, and it's a big issue in our community, and we need to have more mentors in the community in general.
Yeah, to give kids somebody to aspire to be, I remember growing up, there weren't a lot of women that looked like me that were doing what I was doing.
Yes.
So it is important to have someone that you can emulate and aspire to be like. Let's talk a little bit about your career path.
Yes.
Starting from, you were the first Black host on Music Plus.
Yes. Was I the first Black? No, there was a host before me.
Was there a host before?
But I would say I'm...
You were one of the pioneers.
Yeah. I was one that took it beyond... I took it to another level, put that way. Yeah, mm-hmm. I took it to another level.
Did you feel like you were breaking ceilings, moving walls?
Definitely, definitely.
Shaking up the system?
Yeah, because back then, you know, hip-hop was new. The French hip-hop was new. There's a lot of energy. And I had a lot of experience already, you know, producing my own shows and my events. So it just went hand-in-hand with what I was doing, you know, creating my own tours, going to Chibougamau, going to Rouyn-Noranda, going to Val-d'Or, going to Chicoutimi, going to Jonquière, going to Alma, going to these little cities.
Going to places where people weren't going.
They weren't going, yeah, exactly. They weren't going, and then also people like myself weren't going, and it was new for them to see a brother mm-hmm. in their city, but, mm-hmm. you know, they're open in arms. They love me.
Yeah, and I think in turn what the results were palpable, giving the communities a voice, communities that maybe were always under the radar.
And at Music Plus, it was so important for me to be democratic, to give opportunity to everybody. You know, whether you're from the hood, whether you're from the banlieue, whether you're from our région, whether you're from Montreal, as long as you know, made an effort and your stuff was half decent, you know, I gave you opportunity to come on the show.
Right, half decent.
Yeah. Well, you know, because back then they were starting, it was new.
Yeah, sure, it was new.
Yeah.
I don't know that everyone knows this about you, but you also have a singing voice and you released an album.
Yeah, Franglais.
Franglais. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so when I was at Music Plus, there was a while I was bored and I wanted a challenge and I also wanted an opportunity to improve my French. And you know, so I just came up with this idea to put an album out because I had the fan base already and I was already touring with my DJ and it was just another element to add to the tour. So now my DJ and I were going to these clubs, going to these little cities, and then I would do like a 15, 20 minute performance of my album. And it just took the tour to a new level. And also, it really opened up and built the brand of Malik Shahid mm-hmm. and took it to new heights.
And the brand Malik Shahid that is building strong today.
Yes.
Do you feel that you also, with this album, Franglais, helped bridge maybe the gap between the Anglophone and the Francophone communities?
Most definitely, because, you know, there was Domatic doing it, Sans Pression doing it, but I was talking it every day on TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I had that American Quebecois swag, and people were in awe of it. Like, they were, like, just tripping, bugging out on it. And I would come up with these crazy expressions in French and English, and, like, you know, kids would emulate them, you know? So it was really cool knowing I was a pioneer of, you know, I would say one of the waves of Franglais.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the first waves of Franglais. You know, it was there before I started, but in terms of the influence of that hip-hop generation, I was definitely one of the people who put Franglais on the map.
You know, I recognize Franglais as an actual, like, third or fourth language.
It is.
It really is. I find myself going back and forth all the time with
my friends.
We all do.
That's c'est Montréal pour vous.
C'est Montréal, bravo. So you've worked for major outlets as
yes.
CJAD, Bell Media.
Yes.
We've seen you interview some of the world's biggest stars, including
yes.
Beyonce,
yes.
Queen Bee, Jay-Z, Pink,
I mean, Eminem.
50 Cent, Eminem, the list goes on and on and on and
yes.
on. You are recognized as a celebrity interviewer. How did you decide that was what you wanted to do?
You know what, it happened by coincidence. I am an event producer by nature. I can produce anything. You know, and I can produce camps, I can produce tours on anti-bullying, I produce tours on contre la toxicomanie. So anything you give me, I can produce. And what was happening is we were doing parties and we were looking for different ways to promote our parties. So one day I went to Music Plus, I brought my flyer there, and they announced it, and then I started bringing people there, my flyer again. And then one day the music director, Mr. Benoit Vanasse, says, Malik, I want to speak with you. So I thought I was in trouble. He says, you know, each time you come here, you bring a different dimension and uniqueness to the show, and you bring cool people. We want you to be our dance coordinator. I know nothing about dance, But what I do know is I'm a go-getter, I'm a hustler, and I know to make things happen.
And a self-proclaimed hype maker.
Yes, definitely. So for me, I would just go to clubs. I already had contacts, so I was a club promoter. And I would just go to all the best dancers, invite them on the show. And then from there, it just blew up of me, you know, becoming that celebrity reporter. Because I started as a researcher, then a coordinator, then a producer, and then a reporter. And then from there, they saw my talents and, you know, gave me the opportunity, you know.
Do you remember, sorry to interrupt, do you remember your first celebrity interview?
Yeah, so my first celebrity interview was with a group called The Truth in Toronto. I was going to Toronto for Canadian Music Week, but I wanted to learn about the business. I was new at Music Plus. And they said, hey, Malik, there's a group over there that wants, you know, be interviewed. I know nothing about interviews. So, you know, I went over there, I did my best, and I showed it to my my productrice, who was Joanne Menard, and she said, okay, not bad. We have Wyclef coming to town. We'd like to interview him. But I already had known Wyclef because I had promoted shows for Wyclef before.
Okay.
So I had a rapport with Wyclef. And then when I did that Wyclef interview, the energy, the swag, the charisma, took it to a new level, and they just started giving me different interviews to do.
Yeah. That's a really good place to start.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So do you have a favorite interview of all the interviews you've done so far? Is there a favorite or a standout, and why?
So the two interviews that I feel that stand out was the one with 50 Cent. Because at the time when 50 Cent, I did a 50 Cent interview. I interviewed him like 3 or 4 times. But when I interviewed him the first time, everyone was focusing on him being shot 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
But I went on there. When I did the interview, it was more focusing, I want to know who you are. I want to know different things that no one was asking. And I remember the interview was so good. I was getting calls from Toronto and different parts of Canada saying, hey, I saw you with 50 Cent. Because what had happened was the Much Music VJ at the time, he was focusing on whatever all the other reporters were focusing on. And Much Music had called Music Plus for them to send my portion of the interview for them to add it to their special 50 Cent.
Wow.
So that's when I knew, you know what, I had something different. Yeah, I had something different. And then Eminem, I remember I was at the University of Montreal. He was doing a show. All the reporters from the city were there. But I know how the hip-hop game is. You know, they say they're not going to do it or they come very late. So what happened was we were waiting for hours. Everybody left. I told my cameraman, just wait it out. And then like, all of a sudden they said, Malik, Eminem is ready for you. And I was the only reporter left.
Oh, wow.
So like, I was the first in Quebec to really get that exclusive interview with Eminem. So I mean, those are the two that stand out. I mean, definitely the interview with Destiny's Child was very fun. It was very animated.
You know, I have to ask for the people.
Yes.
For the people I'm asking this.
Yes.
You gotta tell us a little something about interviewing Beyoncé. I mean, just the presence.
What I noticed about Beyoncé is I knew right away she was a leader of that group. And she was a mature one. And you saw that she had those qualities of being able to be a leader and answer questions. She just had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I do.
Another fun interview also I did was Lil' Kim.
Oh.
Yeah, Lil' Kim. She was loving my French. You know what I mean? Taught me, you know, I want your phone number and all that stuff. I told Lil' Kim in Burgundy style, you ain't calling me. You know you ain't calling me. You know, so I was fun.
You clap back. Okay.
Yeah, that was fun.
Very,
was
very,
fun.
Very good.
It was fun.
I love that. I have to throw this in for posterity.
Yes.
You are Mr. November.
Yes.
In
November.
Yes, in Black History Month's calendar of this year.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about being Mr. November? It's quite an honor.
To be honest, like, I'm happy, but it was long overdue. And, you know, that's one of the qualms I have about our community. You know, I mean, it's too much of infighting and jealousy. You know, at the end of the day, if people deserve something, just give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's something I felt I should have got when I was at Music Plus. Because I was, like, the hottest thing back then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so for me, you know, so many years later, only recognizing what I'm doing, I'm happy it happened, but I was kind of disappointed that they only recognize me now. Because, you know, and I saw a lot of people that were in the calendars, you know, kudos to them, but they don't have the CV of what Malik has done for just not the Black community, but all communities in Quebec in general.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. You make a very good point, and you bring up a very good point.
Yes.
A very contentious point, because it's something that not a lot of people want to really speak on, or they don't want to rub, feathers the wrong way. But speaking to the community in terms of, you know, sometimes it takes time for people to meet you where you are, right? For them to catch up to where you are. But in terms of community and support, how do you think we're doing?
We're not doing good. We're not doing good. We still have that mentality of, you know, I mean, you're from here, you're from here, you're from there. At the end of the way, like the flag says, Union fait la force, we need to follow what the flag says. You know, let's wake up. Doesn't matter if you're from this part of the West Indies or this part of Africa. At the end of the day, if you're running down the street and robbing a bank, you're a Black person. Let's just all work together and set aside our differences and our cultures.
Well, I throw my hat into that, because that is, we do need to uplift each other. And
we do.
And really have each other.
We're far behind. I mean, people, you know, I see different cultures coming to Canada and to Quebec, and they're just advancing way ahead of us.
Yeah. They're united.
Yes, exactly. They said it, united.
Yes, but there's room for improvement.
Oh, there
there's always room for improvement, and putting voice to it today and every other day will slowly progress our process. And
definitely.
Yeah, we're doing our part. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about a couple of festivals that you have going on.
Yes, yes.
I know that there is the Youth Music and Dance Festival.
Definitely.
That you do.
Yes.
That targets kids from ages 6 to 18.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So that's something that we do in order to promote interculturalism. So multiculturalism is a thing of the past, and it's all about interculturalism now, which is more, you know, getting people to really know who you are and what your culture is about. So it's not saying I'm Black. That's it. No, we want to know exactly what makes, you know, your culture unique, what makes it different. So it's really bringing people into your culture. And Quebec has changed. Montreal has changed. Not what it was many years ago. It's very, very diverse. You have cultures from all over the world. And we have to be able to break the stereotypes when we see people. So that's the goal of that festival, is to unite everyone and for us to break stereotypes and unite and just share our culture and heritage together. And more importantly, the reason why we started at such a young age, 6 years old, is because we feel those are the ages where the stereotypes begin. Mm-hmm. So let's break those stereotypes at an early age and open people's minds up.
Very good point. Okay, I'm going to switch gears a little bit
now.
Okay, so you're definitely known for your style. And your personal style. I mean, it is there. You have a very fashionable palette.
Yes.
How would you describe your personal style?
Versatile.
Versatile.
Versatile, definitely. Avant-gardist. Mm-hmm. You know, with a touch of what's happening today, and then a touch of vintage, retro style.
Oh, I like that. I think every good recipe has a few different spices in it, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so what has been up to now your best, your greatest lesson, and your greatest failure?
Greatest lesson.
Greatest lesson, professionally or personally?
I don't know if it's my greatest lesson, but at a young age, in high school, it was very important to always be cool with everyone. Because you never know who you're going to meet up in the future with. Greatest failure, I want to say it's a failure, but I don't think that I got the fair shot in terms of being able to take my media career to the level where it should have been. So if I was in Toronto or New York, I would have been at a 10 times different level than where I am here. So I don't think it's a failure. I think it's made me a lot stronger. But I just think that here in Quebec, we have to realize that, you know, we're becoming more diverse, more cultural, and we have to give other people opportunities.
Yes, and, you know, it's people like you, Malik, I say this humbly, but it's people like you that that keep Montreal moving forward and keep us on the minds of people. And it takes people like that, or else we will fade into the background. I remember a time in my life where, you know, you would see those posters of like New York, Paris, London, and Montreal was always on those posters. And I remember a day when I looked up at those posters and Montreal was off the poster. And I was like, where did we go? But we're still here.
Yeah, we're still here.
We need to keep reminding people locally and internationally that we have something to say.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, so I want to know if how you would describe yourself, Malik Shahid, in three words or less.
Go-getter, versatile, multitasker.
I like those very strong words. Okay, we're going to play a little game.
Let's play that game.
All right, a little game, a little rapid-fire question, all right? So we want to get as much spontaneity, as little thinking, and as much spontaneity as possible, okay? Right. First question, would you ever travel to the moon?
Yes.
One thing you do when nobody's watching?
Dance.
What has been your worst job?
Newspapers.
What is your lifelong dream?
To unite everyone.
What is your fundamental message to community?
Work together.
What is your fundamental message to the youth?
Be open-minded.
What is your fundamental message to the world?
Let's unite.
Great. Tether, you did much better than I thought. It was fantastic. I want to leave you with the opportunity to say any final words that maybe we haven't spoke about, or that you feel that you want to put out there for people to hear.
Well, I want to thank yourself for doing this interview.
Thank you.
I want to thank the Mavens team and Vocus Magazine for giving me this opportunity to do this interview. And I just want to say that, you know, I mean, we got to work more together. We got to break the stereotypes. And let's put Montreal back on the map where it needs to belong.
Absolutely. You know what? Before we go, Malik, I do have one final question for you. It's a little bit maybe controversial, but I'm interested to know your take on it, especially since you work with the youth. So since the legalization of marijuana, I want to know if you have noticed in the communities, if people have come to you, are there concerns? Are you concerned? What is the word you're saying to the kids about this? And how do you think it will change this structure of communities?
I think that we have to do what we did when we were younger. Remember, we used to have non-smoking campaigns. They were very big when we were younger. So do the same thing. Explain the effects of cannabis at a young age like they used to do, and do big campaigns out of it.
Is this something you talk to your kids about?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely talk about it.
Good.
Yeah, it's important.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, Malik, I've known you for so many years.
Yes.
You've only gotten better and better.
Thank you.
And I feel like the best is still yet to come.
Yes.
And of course, you're one of the greatest interviewers in the city.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
You got to get back into it.
I know. I'm on it.
Okay,
ear to the ground.
Yeah, you got
to
get back into it.
Yeah. Thanks for keeping the door open.
Of course, always.
Yes. I wish you all the best, Malik.
Thank you.
One love always.
Thank you.
Yes, my boy. On the floor, cause don't boy shy, he tick down every the floor. Wait, to rip walls, you're the crown anymore. Drink walls, you're the style anymore.